22 Condors. By the mid-1980s, there were only 22 California condors left in the entire world. 22. That was it. If those 22 birds died, the species, the bird with the largest wingspan in North America, stretching 9.5 feet from tip to tip, would be gone forever. A California condor doesn't look like any bird you've seen in your backyard. It's enormous. When it spreads its wings, it's wider than a car. It's mostly black, with bright white triangles under each wing and a bald head that turns orange and red and purple, depending on the bird's mood. Condors don't flap much. They ride the wind, soaring on currents of warm air that rise up from the mountains, circling for hours without beating their wings once. From the ground, they look like dark shapes drifting across the sky in slow, patient circles. But those circles were disappearing. The condors were dying because of poison. Not poison meant for them, but lead from hunters' bullets left in animal carcasses. Condors eat dead animals. When they ate animals shot with lead bullets, the lead got into their blood and killed them. Their eggs were getting thinner too, cracking before chicks could grow. Year after year, the count dropped. 30. Then 25. Then 22. So the scientists made a very hard decision. They were going to catch every single wild condor and bring them all into captivity. Every last one. A lot of people were furious. "You're taking them out of the wild," they said. "That's not saving them. That's putting them in prison." But the scientists looked at the numbers and said, "If we leave them out there, they will all die." We can argue about what freedom means for a bird, or we can keep the species alive. Sometimes the brave choice is the unpopular one. They caught all 22 birds and brought them to special breeding centers. Then they had to solve a tricky problem. Condor chicks need to learn from their parents. If a baby condor sees a human feeding it, it thinks humans are its family. It won't know how to be a condor. It won't learn the right calls or the right behaviors. When you released it, it would walk up to people instead of flying away from them. So the scientists made puppets. Hand puppets shaped exactly like adult condor heads. Black feathers, a hooked beak, the right colors on the bald head. Every time a chick needed to be fed, a scientist would crouch behind a screen, reach through a hole with the puppet on their hand, and feed the chick from the puppet's beak. The chick never saw a human face. It only ever saw what looked like a condor parent. When the young condors were big enough to practice flying outside, the scientists had to teach them one more thing: stay away from power lines. They couldn't explain this with words. So they built fake power poles in the flight pens, poles that looked exactly like real ones, but delivered a small, harmless zap when a bird landed on the wire. The condors landed once, felt the zap, shook themselves off, and never landed on a power line again. One lesson was enough. It took years, decades. The scientists bred condors carefully, raised them with puppets, trained them with fake power lines, and slowly, one small group at a time, released them back into the wild. First a few, then a few more. Each bird was tracked with a radio transmitter. Each release was watched carefully. Some birds struggled. Some thrived. The scientists kept adjusting, kept learning, kept breeding more chicks and training more puppets. Today there are more than 500 California condors. They soar over the Grand Canyon, riding the thermals that rise up from the red rock walls. They drift over the sea cliffs of Big Sur, where the Pacific crashes against the rocks hundreds of feet below. They circle over the same mountains where their ancestors flew for thousands of years. 22 birds became 500, because a group of scientists looked at a terrible situation, made a plan nobody else believed in, and then did the work. With hand puppets and fake power lines and decades of patience, until it worked.